that awkward wave. Like, hello. I don't quite know how this interaction is meant to work here. Are we friends? Am I talking to you? Are we colleagues? This is EMF. I think we're all just nerds in a field, which is great. So hello. As the brilliant introduction said, my name is Kestrel, like the bird, but not spelled like the bird. And I've done a few things around site that you may have seen. I created the NFC duck game that some of you may have been playing around the field. If you haven't, if you see a rubber duck with an NFC logo on it, please go and tap it and make friends with it. It's a whole game. I've also put a text-based adventure in the EMF arcade where you can play as Namesley, a software developer at SoftBank, the world's softest bank, as you learn how to value a goose. But I was introduced as an author, and that is generally what I am, but first and foremost, I am Kestrel, and I am a hacker. And thank you. That doesn't necessarily mean I spend all of my time in the terminal trying to break into banks. May have done some of that in my youth, but I learned very early on, because of who I am, the kind of person I want to be, the kind of truth I knew that lived inside of me, that I had to learn to hack systems because they didn't represent me. As a queer, non-binary person, I didn't see an awful lot of representation in all of the systems that were designed to support me, either growing up or as I kind of took my steps out into the world. And so this kid here had to learn how to hack things to make them feel better, more accepted, more understood in the world. And my first hack was Sonic the Hedgehog. As a child of the 80s and growing up in the 90s, I adored Sonic the Hedgehog. I got to play it on a Sega Master System and on a Sega Mega Drive. It was one of my absolute favorite things. And then I discovered a whole world of Sonic the Hedgehog fiction. And I realized that I, as a 10-year-old, wanted nothing more than to see the great epic romance of the century. I wanted to see Sonic the Hedgehog and Tails, Miles Prower, finally have the love story that they deserved. And this realization came not by hacking the game at first, but by hacking the Sonic the Hedgehog official Choose Your Own Adventure game book series. I found Choose Your Own Adventure books for Sonic the Hedgehog and realized that all these make this choice, turn to this page, make this choice, turn to this page. I could put stickers over the bits I didn't like and hack the story to do what I wanted it to do, to make me feel seen, represented, to have the epic love story that I wanted. That was my first hack. It later then got me into ROM hacking, and I learned how to do hex editing. I was hacking save files for emulators so that I could make Sonic and Tails kiss in real time. And then Knuckles came along, and it was like, wow, so this is what a polycule is. But there we go. Sonic the Hedgehog, 101 Guide to Relationships. That'll be my talk in 2 years' time. So what does this have to do with telling stories or saving the world? Well, I didn't stay 7 years old forever. I'm actually a few decades on from that now, quite depressingly. And I have had to, as time has gone on, engage with this thing called society and this world we seem to live in. Has anyone here ever had to fill out a form? Yeah? Yeah, exactly, right? Has anyone here had to stand in a line for something? Yeah. Society is weird and full of these odd unwritten rules, and all of these systems that have crept up that, as an autistic queer person, are nonsensical and almost completely irrelevant to me. So I had to learn how to survive there. And even to this day, I start going through a system, I start trying to engage with something, and immediately I'm cut off at the first hurdle because of this. What am I meant to do as a non-binary person when those are my only two options on a website? What story is this telling me? If I'm the user of something that someone has created, and I get this far, I am essentially being hit with the game over screen before I get past Green Hill Zone 1, for those of you that are still with me on the Sonic metaphors. And it gets worse, because everyone thinks, no, it's okay. We'll just make this bigger. We'll just expand the list. It'll be fine. And so we hook up a bunch of things to database, outsource things to developers who don't understand the community they're creating things for. We put technology before storytelling, and we get this. Or this. Or this. Or this. Or this. Or this. Hi, my name is Kestrel and my pronouns are no/vehicle. And I think fundamentally what bugs me about this is that at my core, I am still a 7-year-old that just wants to be seen. Much like we're all being constantly seen by a biblically accurate Sonic the Hedgehog. I know. But at 7 years old, I really did lack visible role models or a language to describe myself. And times change and evolve, but our systems haven't, and the stories we tell haven't. Although I look back in retrospect and think, they look camp. Right? And when you really look at that t-shirt, did I really lack the language to know who I was? I loved that Transformers t-shirt. But anyway, this is increasingly important for so, so many reasons. And this is where we get on to saving the world by telling stories rather than thinking about building systems. Who here thinks they're a little bit addicted to their smartphone? Yeah, most of the crowd. I am too, and I hate that I am. There are statistics on that as well. Let's think about teenagers. Smartphone addiction amongst teenagers is a huge problem. These are UK statistics. Average age of first smartphone ownership is 11. Suicide risk factor for people who spend more than 5 hours on their phones a day, 71%. 44% of girls and 33% of boys say they have feelings of intense use. They feel like they can't stop using their smartphones. I don't know what the stats on non-binary people are, but a lot of statistics organizations don't believe we exist at the moment, so it's a gray area. People saying lost sleep. 67% of young people are losing sleep because of their smartphones. I don't know about you, but I really value sleep. Increasingly so, actually. And then we get to doom scrolling, a term that 5 years ago people wouldn't necessarily have known, but now is something so prevalent. UK adults were asked about doom scrolling. And people say 27.19% of people say they spend 30 to 60 minutes doom scrolling a day. And what's doom scrolling? It's basically the point where you're in a negative feedback loop. That's not just checking your phone or replying to messages. That's getting to a point where you are constantly looking at new videos that are in some way distressing or in some way degrading you as a human being. That's doom scrolling. But thankfully, the government is here to save us. They always are. Where there's blame, there's a claim, right? So let's just ban all under 16s from using social media. Hands up who thinks that's the right solution. One person in the crowd, which is absolutely fine. But I don't think that necessarily goes particularly far towards solving the problem. When we start blaming the user for the failings of the system, we start encountering a pretty huge problem, because that's when the systems are in control and not the people. And I don't know about you, but I'd rather the people were in control of the things, not the systems being in control of us. Small round of applause there, thank you. Okay, yeah, there we go. You didn't have to clap, I just thought it was worthy of attention. So in my mind, it's never about blaming a user. It's about building better narratives. Here's where the storytelling part of the title of my talk comes in. Like I said, I'm a child of the 80s. That was my first computer. The Amstrad PC 1512, it had two floppy disk drives. No hard drive. It had a killer refresh rate, it did, of one line per second. No, it was fantastic. The one I had a green screen. I could do word processing. I wrote some of my first stories on that computer. I played my first text-based adventure game on that computer, Colossal Cave. Yep, I love it still now. If I'm ever in a command prompt somewhere I don't know, I always try Plu and Zuzzy and all the Colossal Cave backdoors to see if they do anything. But now, I mean, come on, our smartphones are amazing pieces of technology, right? Chips created by a trans woman that power systems that run on logic boards that contain more technology than NASA had to send humans to the moon. In our pockets, in all of our pockets. With screens with resolutions we could never imagine. Really killer refresh rates. And we don't just own smartphones. Everyone that has a smartphone has access to, probably, at least one laptop of some description, whatever brand or make. The technology we have access to now blows my mind. It is amazing. It is beyond the comprehension of people 30 years ago. The ubiquitous access, the free flow of data, the processing power of these machines. So, in the 40 years between these machines, I mean, everything that runs on this must be so much better, right? It must be amazing, look incredible, be really user-oriented. No. We unfortunately exist in a reality where so much of technology is about consuming. It's not about sharing. It's not about telling a story. It's about pushing a user down a path. It's about those, how can we tweak our website so that we nudge someone to click on something and buy it, even though they don't really need it. It's not about free choice, celebrating individuality. It's about selling things, buying things, getting people hooked on algorithms so that you can make money off of adverts. And then you come to an event like EMF. And you think, why couldn't it be like this every day of the year? Right, I mean, if society collapses, honestly, I'll be waiting here for all of you to show up and we can just chill out here forever. We'll still have Wi-Fi. As long as the furries are here, we'll have all that we need, including a nuclear program. But this is the issue. Because we're all here, and then we go off to our daily lives. And for a large portion of us, for me it's very part-time now, but a large portion of us go and write some kind of code, we build some kind of website, we contribute to a system or something. Whether that's by code writing or by working in the civil service or the NHS, or whether that's by writing books. So what are you doing? Whether you're writing a code or building a system or you're thinking about creating something in the future, I'm asking you today to treat it more like you're writing a fiction novel than you're building an application. And I think I have some reasons for suggesting this. I made the transition from being a full-time nerd to being a part-time nerd slash sometimes psychotherapist slash most of the time an author these days. So for a shameless plug of my book, it's actually my fifth book, but the first novel in a new series of kind of queer sci-fi novels that came out. First one came out in February this year. It's had a lovely response so far, and that's been great. But all this to say, I'm trying to come from a position of, I've done a little bit of storytelling now. I've had some feedback on what works and what doesn't. But we all know how to tell stories, right? We learn that in primary school. You know, you have a start, you have a middle, you have an end. Easy, right? That's all you need to be an author. That's how JK made her millions. No. She made it through racism and transphobia, just saying. I'm not saying that too loudly because genuinely she's suing more and more small authors now, and I am worried. I don't have any money for her to take. But that's okay, we get to secondary school and they tell us it's a bit more complicated than start, middle, end, right? So you do GCSE English. My brother's a GCSE English teacher. And it's where you have an opening, you have a build-up, your user faces a problem, you give them a nice resolution, it's tidied up in a nice bundled ending. Yeah. That's not really how storytelling works either, although it's great if you're writing a GCSE English essay. What about starting with your character? And by character, I mean user. Any user coming into your application, your system, your workplace, your reception desk, wherever you are, whoever you interact with, but even if you're not even working, even if you're a young person, you interact with people all the time, right? You meet new people all the time. And when you go to meet that new person, start with your character. Who are they? When I'm writing a character, I don't write every single thing about them. Because to be honest, I know people and they're exhausting. To note everything down about a person, that's really hard. I kind of come up with a little map. Who is my character? What do they believe? What are the fundamental things at their core? And then I throw them into a bunch of fictional situations and see what they do. I'm like, okay, so this is happening. Well, how would that character react to that? So I start with my character, my Sonic, my beloved. And then you have to think, well, what do you want them to be able to do? If you're creating something for a character, what is that character's arc, their narrative arc, their journey? I mean, if you're building an app, you've got to think about, okay, well, I've got a user. What do I want this user to be able to do? How do I want them to do it? I'll be honest, I hate my phone these days. I was such an iPhone enthusiast when they first came out. Unashamedly, I was. I had the iPhone 3G. I loved it. I thought it was the best user interface in the world. Yesterday, I took a photo and I wanted to crop it. I almost threw my phone out of the window. How is it so hard to do so many simple things? And I realized that people just weren't thinking about the narrative anymore. They weren't thinking about that user journey. What do you want your user to be able to do? Or what do you want them to fall in love with? I wanted Sonic to fall in love with Tails. Okay, if you're working in healthcare, you want someone to be well. But do you want them to be well and feel like they only got 5 minutes with a doctor, couldn't get the answers they needed? Do you want to create something that helps people help themselves? If you're creating an application, if you're creating a service for people, even if it's a back-end service for people, you think, oh, only people like me are going to use this. There's no one in the world like you. You, my friend, are unique. You are the only person like you. And you could find someone who looks just like you, who likes all the same things that you do. And then you find out that actually, they love raspberries. And you're allergic to raspberries. Happens to me more often than you think. I'm the one allergic to raspberries, by the way. Please don't give me raspberries. And so I think fundamentally we get here by asking three main questions. How? How is our character going to move through this adventure, through this journey. Why are they doing it? What are they here for in the first place? That is one of the most forgotten questions in technology, in any kind of narrative or system design. When I'm writing a book, I constantly have to ask myself, why is this character in this situation? Because in my head, I've gone off on this thing that I think is really cool. And it's all in my head, and I'm writing it down, and I'm typing, and then I read it back, and I think, yeah, but really, my character would have walked in the room and gone, nope, and walked out again. So you have to think, if you're building a system, anything, why are you doing it? Why are they there? Why should your character, your user, care? And who? Not just who are they, but who are you to them? Who is Sonic to Tails? Who is Knuckles to Sonic? How do the three of them interact? This isn't a hackneyed metaphor for the sake of it. You have to think about the people at every step of the journey, how they interact with each other. And then do some research. Because not everybody's like you, would you believe? Not everyone's like the people you've met. You might be the most tolerant person in the world. And I'm going to quote my late mother here. She used to sit there and say to me, now I'm the most tolerant person in the world, but there's always a but. So research. Crucially also, research. And finally, research. Because you don't know what you don't know. And that is okay. Stop feeling ashamed for not knowing things. Life is not knowing things. Learn them. Talk to people. Oh, a whole set of people I didn't expect are using this app or service. Talk to them, don't force them into a box. Find out what they need. So basically, create spaces for the user to choose their own adventure. Research, or you'll exclude people. Stay curious, ask how, ask why, ask who. Treat every tool, every site, every application, every platform, every book you're writing, every story you're telling as a narrative. It is only by thinking about the user, thinking about the human, thinking about narratives, that we can really get ourselves out of this technological hellscape we find ourselves in. There are lots of other things that need to happen too, don't get me wrong. But that is one thing that we can all do, I think, and take back to the things that we do outside of EMF. I like to finish on a quote. Noted bisexual writer William Shakespeare once said, "All the world's a stage, and men and women are merely players." Now I, today, as relatively unknown author Kestrel Guyon, would like to posit a new version of this. All the world's an interface, and every interaction tells a story. And you know what? It is our pleasure to make it a good one. All we get to do from here is write the next page in whatever stories we are telling. It is our responsibility to ourselves, it is our responsibility to each other to make that story excellent. Thank you.